L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David James here with you. The Predators have a big one. A huge one. A massive one. Tonight on the road in Los Angeles against the Kings. And to help us talk about that and much, much more, we go to our phone line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet, who is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
I'm good, Adam. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for joining us as always. So, Elliot, with the news earlier this week that the Maple Leafs are also now in the market for a GM, I've been wondering how the Toronto opening might affect the Predators search. How alike are Toronto's and Nashville's priorities in terms of the qualifications they are prioritizing in their prospective hires?
I think similar. One thing that is absolutely the same is that Toronto is saying, one thing that you guys did was said, we're going to find the right person and then we're going to build our front office around that person. Like, don't get caught up in titles. Don't get caught up in, how it all might look or be structured. Find the right individual and then build around them. That's the way that the Predators are talking. That is also the way the Maple Leafs are talking. Don't worry about whether it's a president of hockey operations, whether it's a general manager or both. Just find the person and build out your group. And that's where I think you guys are similar. In terms of candidates, like, the one thing I do believe is that this whole data-driven thing, it's the way the league is kind of going, not only in terms of it's not necessarily you have to be, like, for lack of a better term, like a hockey nerd or something like that. But you have, like, a lot of these people who own teams, and the Haslams are no different. They run very data-driven businesses and they make decisions because they are given evidence that leads them to believe that this is why this decision could work, or there's reason to believe that this decision will work. Hockey hasn't always been like that, and we're still figuring out where the data is all going to go. But I think that a lot of the owners now, especially as the teams become billion-dollar franchises, they want the people who own those companies. That's the way they make their decisions in the real world. So, it's not that they're unwilling to do things. It doesn't only have to be about the numbers. But if they say to you, we want to do something, or explain to us why you want to spend. Like, the owner of the Maple Leafs also owns the Blue Jays. They spent $500 million on Vladimir Guerrero last year. That looks like it's going to be a good buy, a good bet. But you've got to be able to go to them and say, this is why we want to spend the $500 million. This is what we think the value is, and explain it out. And I think the sport is very much headed into that.
Earlier this week, Elliot, we were discussing the pros and cons of the Toronto and Nashville jobs. We felt that the Predators have advantages in draft capital, their prospect pool, the whole no state taxes thing. But Toronto is Toronto. And being the Maple Leafs GM has a lot of history behind it. We talked about it with John Harbaugh choosing the New York Giants. The New York Giants haven't been the New York Giants in a while, but it is still being the head coach of the New York Giants. Do people around the NHL consider one job more attractive than the other?
I think that would depend on the person. First of all, I think Nashville's a great job. I do. If I was an executive in the league and somebody told me, I have to be, I could be the GM or the hockey operations leader of the Nashville Predators, I would be like, where to sign me up? I think the state tax thing, it matters. It's a great place to live, as you guys know. It does. It's a great place to live if you're single, and it's a great place to live if you have a family. People want to live there. There are people who move from other parts of the country into Nashville. Heck, you got LeBron James on a golf course today saying you should move an NBA team into Nashville.
Yes, I saw that.
The thing is, like, you're always going to have the ability to attract players to go there. So I think whenever you have that, it's like similar to the Florida Panthers. The Panthers weren't, I mean, you guys have had success. The Panthers did not have a lot of success. And all of a sudden they got hot, and all of a sudden everybody wanted to play there. You guys had success. When you did, people wanted to play there. Now it dropped a bit, but you know, you're coming back. You've had Stamkos wanting to play there. You had Marchessault wanting to play there. You had O'Reilly wanting to play there. Like, guys want to play there. So that makes it a good job. I think also, and this depends on the person, there are some people who are not cut out to be the general manager or the hockey operations leader of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's what I call high risk, high reward. That, you know, if there's a lot of intensity, not everybody's built for that intensity. There's a lot of heat. There's a lot of pressure. But the rewards are enormous. If you are the person who finally wins in Toronto, you are going to be a god forever. You know, to win the Stanley Cup in Nashville would be a great thing, and you would be a huge hero in Nashville and among Predator Nation, but it's not the same level as Toronto, and I think that does appeal to people. I think the other thing is, and I always hate when I say this because people take it to, like, this stupid way of saying, oh, one team's cheaper than the other. It's not true, but Toronto has financial reserves and revenues that Nashville doesn't have. Like, and again, I'm not saying the Predators are cheap. I want people to understand that. But there are things Toronto can do at its disposal in addition to the salary cap that very few teams can do. And they do it. Like, as a matter of fact, I think people have started to wonder if it's like too comfortable to play in Toronto because they take care of everything. But when Toronto decides to flex its financial muscles in ways outside the salary cap that are legal, I'm not saying they're cheating, but just things around the rink, things that they can do, stuff that they can build at their practice facility, just extra things to take care of players and make their medical stuff, all that stuff. Toronto can do it to a higher level than Nashville can.
One more for me, Elliot, before I hand it off to Willie and Derek. You've been doing a lot of reporting about the GM search, and yep. A name that you have brought up on multiple occasions is Peter Chiarelli. And yep. When I saw that name, my first reaction was, ugh, just because I remember how his tenure in Edmonton went. It did not yep. go particularly well. He made some, yep. in hindsight, mind-boggling decisions, and he hasn't been in the big chair now for several years. He was working for the Blues, if I recall correctly, until recently.
That is right.
How is Chiarelli perceived around the NHL now that he has been out of that GM chair for the past several years?
Well, you know, I'll say this. Like, I'll be honest, Adam, and I'll just say this delicately. We don't have a lot of contact with each other. You know, he's the one thing I'll say is that I always believe that if you are willing, you can learn from your mistakes, right? And just because, like, I'm always willing to, whenever somebody becomes a person of interest in a job, you won a Stanley Cup in Boston, and then in Edmonton, you're right, it didn't go well. It ended very badly. I'm always willing to sit down with someone and say, what have you learned that went well and you would do again, or what didn't go well that you would never do again? And I'm always willing to listen to what someone has to say about that. And I'll just say this. I haven't spoken to Chiarelli in a long time. I don't know what he would say. But I think it's always dumb to not be willing to listen to somebody. And, you know, the thing is, Nashville's had a pretty interesting search. Like, it's kind of gone from, I think I've told you guys this, you have to be so careful with the word interview, because I don't, like, people are like, well, it wasn't a formal interview. And I'm like, I hate when people try to get me on language. It makes me crazy. But the truth is, it went from like a fact-finding mission to something a little more in-depth to now where I think you guys are starting, either are bringing people in or are going to bring people in. And I just don't know, like, I don't have any problem. I don't think there's anything wrong with someone saying, you know what, we'd like to sit down with Peter Chiarelli and hear what he has to say. Because the worst thing that happens is that you sit there and you say, you know what, this isn't one of our guys. And it's no harm, no foul. You spoke to him. Maybe he gave you a nugget that you can use. Maybe you heard something that can be part of your development, but not the right guy from us. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, just so you know, because I think you're probably down to about, I would probably say about five or so people. And I think three of them are Brett Peterson, Scott White, and Bill Scott. But I leave room open for the fact that there might be more.
Elliot Friedman is with us from 32 Thoughts. And Elliot, it's fascinating to talk about this, because you brought up the whole data part of it that, I don't know, 25 years ago, I don't think it would have been a thing. Right before the book Moneyball, I don't know if it was discussed that much in hockey circles. And we asked Barry Trotz about it philosophically the other day, and he mentioned how the GM really has to be in tune with the business side, the business part of the operation. And so, you know, you put all these things together and you do wonder if one person is really capable of being a strength in all of these areas. So it does have to be collective, which had us wondering, is it better to go with two guys, you know, a president of hockey ops and a GM, or can one guy delegate that underneath? So what's your sense of what they might be doing, and what's the best way to do it? Is that the trend going forward?
Well, you know, Willie, just first of all, on the analytics thing, Scotty Bowman, who's won the most Stanley Cups as head coach of an NHL team, he won 9. People told me that back in the 70s, when he was coaching, I can't remember if he was in St. Louis or Montreal at the time, the first team he coached to was St. Louis, and the second team he coached was Montreal, and they were a dynasty. I think he won four in a row there. And he would keep stats like things like who got the puck. I remember players who played for him in the 70s told me that he would keep a stat like he would say, okay, there was a battle between these two guys for the puck. Who got it? Our guy or the other guy? And he would tell guys, well, you didn't get the puck and you only got the puck X percent of the time. So I think on some level, this stuff has been going on for a long time, but it's obviously much, much more developed and refined now. And teams say that what they have available to them privately is far, far ahead of what gets shared publicly. And, you know, I will say this, like Keith Pelley, who's the CEO of MLSE, Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment, he talked about AI this week, artificial intelligence, and I definitely believe there are teams fiddling around with that. Like, how can we do that to help us? So I think we're only going to a new stratosphere. Like, I'll say this. I absolutely feel in Toronto this year that when they let go of Brendan Shanahan and they had Tree Living, that Shanahan, he managed up. And if you're unfamiliar with what I mean by that, managing down is managing people lower than you on the organizational chart. And a lot of GMs do that. You manage the coach, you manage the players, you manage the American Hockey League team, minor leagues, all that, the draft, all that stuff. But managing up is managing, you know, who's above you on the organizational chart, a team president and, of course, the owner or the ownership group, like in Nashville, that's Sean Henry, that's Michelle Kennedy, that's Bill Haslam. And I think that is an enormous part of the job now. Like Jim Nill, the GM in Dallas, who just got an extension, he once told me that he got into hockey management because he loves hockey. And since he became the GM, the thing he probably does the least is hockey, because he's managing all the other right. stuff that Barry Trotz talks about. So, like, the one thing is, like, Willie, I don't know if it has to be, like, I would say this. Maybe it is going to be president of hockey operations or GM. But if Bill Haslam doesn't want to do that, then what I think he has to do, and what everybody there in Nashville has to agree to, is that there has to be one person on the staff, and it has to be someone with a reasonably big title, like a vice president or something like that. Their job is to manage up on a daily basis. Because I don't think, and I especially saw this in Toronto this year, I don't think the general manager can manage up and down. The job is too big. I think you need one person, and maybe that's somebody whose responsibility is a qualified person, who, and it's got to be a senior person, who sits in all the hockey meetings, takes notes, coordinates with the GM. I have to speak to the president, or I have to speak to the owner, and I'm going to say, look, this is what our plan is, and this is what we're doing. And, you know, the one thing that people tell me is it used to be there wasn't a lot of interference from owners, depending, like some owners there always was, but some there weren't. Well, now these are billion-dollar businesses. And I think people are crazy if they don't think someone like Bill Haslam, who's paid close to $1 billion for the Nashville Predators, is going to sit there and say, I have total hands off. Like, it's a billion-dollar business. Of course he's going to want to know everything that's going on. And I do think there has to be one person whose primary job is managing up. It's too big a job.
Really interesting stuff. Elliot, before we let you go, let's look on the ice tonight. I'm out here in L.A. This is the first. It's a weird pattern because the next three games for the Predators here in L.A., up to San Jose to play the Sharks Saturday, and then back here to play L.A. and Anaheim back-to-back. It's obviously
I like that.
Make or break.
I wish it. I really like that because your travel to California is a long way, and I like that they did it with Minnesota this year too. I think they actually played back-to-back over three nights in L.A. That's the way it
but
should be.
But wouldn't that be better? I like that better than why not just knock them out here?
Yeah, don't go back and forth. Like, knock them out there. I think, first of all, it's a total fluke. It worked out great. It's two hugely dramatic games. But secondly, why not make the travel easier? I really like it. I think it's smart.
So tell me what you're seeing from Los Angeles as they go into this game. Obviously, it was a big, big win for them last night to jump up. But with the makeup of their team, obviously, for people that maybe didn't see the Olympics, Kevin Fiala, the injury to him was a significant one for the Kings, but they've got Artemi Panarin. So take it from there since they changed their coach, especially.
Well, so the thing about them is that they are really inconsistent. And they are up and they're down and they're up and they're down. And, like, they are on a 7-game homestand that basically will determine their season. And the first game they played, they had a chance to move within 2 points of Vegas for third place in the Pacific Division in the first game of their homestand, which was on Saturday. And they lost 6-2 to Utah. And unfortunately, and then they rebounded last night. They got that big win over St. Louis in overtime. And that's them. They're on, they're off, they're on, they're off. They're very inconsistent. So they got a really gutsy win last night, but you have no idea which team is going to show up tonight. Now, as you mentioned, they made a coaching change. They have tried to become a little more aggressive. They were kind of, I don't want to say passive, but they weren't all the most aggressive team. They have tried to become more aggressive. They've tried to dictate play a little bit, but the biggest problem that they have, Willie, is that they're on and they're off and they're just not good. They don't put long streaks together of great performances. And, you know, we'll see. Like, they're probably feeling very good about themselves after that win last night. But, you know, you guys have, even though you've air traveled, you sat there, you're waiting for them. Get on them quick, and it'll be very interesting to see how they respond. They haven't always responded very well.
Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Freeman has been our guest on D-Mace Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Thursday at 5 during hockey season. Elliot, as always, fantastic stuff. We'll catch up next week.
All right, guys. Have a great – actually, next week, I can't do Thursday. I'm going on vacation with my family. and I think I'm traveling home. So we'll have to figure out a way around that.
We understand. We understand you having to move because of family stuff. Totally understand.
I appreciate that, buddy.
All right, Elliot. 615-737-1025. A lot to get in there with Elliot. But let's look ahead to tonight's matchup with the LA Kings coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingham. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingham here with you. I did get a chuckle just now hearing that the final hour of DVD is presented by Braves Vision. How does noted Mets fan Willie Donick feel about that?
I'm sorry, Adam. How does noted Mets fan feel about what?
As we were coming back from break, I learned that the final hour of DVD is presented by Braves Vision.
Oh. And, you know, I've gotten used to that. I mean, it's the Southeast.
I know.
It's Braves territory. It's okay.
I know.
It's all right.
Okay.
By the way.
How was the game last night?
Outage. Great outing to Dodger Stadium.
Mookie went over.
Yeah, he did.
As did Ohtani. That was sad.
He made some really nice plays in the field. Yeah, they had give the Guardians credit. They pitched a heck of a game. Anytime you handle that lineup the way they did, you pitched very well. But, boy, they put on a great show there. It's got great nostalgia when you walk to Dodger Stadium. It's unlike any other place. It's a place you really need to go if you're a baseball fan. But we had a blast. We were sitting right down the right field line. We had a screaming line drive ricochet off some chairs in front of us. Thankfully, it didn't hit anybody, but it definitely shook us up. But,
okay, two things,
Willie. Spot.
One, did you take your mitt to the glove, man? Did you take your glove to the
Derek, when I was a kid, I brought it all the time. I brought my glove because I was like, I am catching a foul ball. I'm ready.
You weren't prepared then yesterday.
Well, Derek, remember earlier this week or last week, I can't remember, when you said there needs to be an age limit for adults to go to Disney World without children? There is an age limit to how old you can be to bring a glove to a baseball game.
Is it?
Absolutely.
The grown-ups that bring it's not official, but the grown-ups that bring the glove now.
You could have got me on that one at April Fool's.
they tend to be kind of the nerdy guys that are coming to BP and trying to collect. Like, there's who's the infamous guy that, you know, he's got it down to a science where the balls are going to get hit. He goes to BP, he, like, sells passage to come with him to a game, and he'll get you a ball because he's so good. It just takes all these balls from everybody. He just keeps them. He just hoards them instead of just letting the natural process happen. Like, to me, the fun part about catching a foul ball, or the idea or the chance of catching a foul ball, is the randomness of it.
Zach Campbell,
you gotta be
is
in the right spot.
On.
Yeah, that guy, I mean, he's just thumbs down on his whole act. But because it should be a spontaneous thing. Like, wow. Like the moment last night, I mean, the ball was, there was, first of all, everybody skipped a beat. Because you're like, oh my gosh, my life just flashed in front of my eyes, but nobody got hit, and then all of a sudden the guy finds the ball right in front of him. Hey, I got a ball! Like, he's got a lifetime story to tell now. That's the beauty of it. So, as a kid, I think it's fun to have that thought of the next ball could be something right into my glove. Now I feel like the adult has to make the bare hand catch. That's my thought. You got to catch it barehanded for an adult.
I feel you on that one.
There needs to be a sign outside of every ballpark, similar to when you go to an amusement park. You must be this tall to ride. Uh-huh. You must be this short to bring in a glove. adults who go to baseball games with gloves. No.
Willie, did you see Steven Spielberg?
That was the second thing. Did you talk to Steve?
Okay. I was looking. I looked.
Thank his friends call him Steve.
Yeah. Did you run into Steve?
I didn't see him. I didn't see Steve.
Or Stevie. Did you run into Stevie, man?
No, Steve or Stevie. We didn't really see anybody famous either. I was, you know, you never know when you're going to see somebody big time at a Dodger game, but we were not.
Y'all saw yourselves. Y'all big time.
Oh, yeah. We definitely met our president.
I mean, there's Nashville big time, and then there's LA big time. Willie Donick.
I think you're close to
LA big
time.
He's Nashville big time.
I think you're close to LA big time.
In his dreams.
I mean that as a compliment.
I was definitely incognito last night. I was not recognized.
Okay, good.
Let's talk about what you're going to be doing tonight, Willie Donick, and that is calling the Predators game against the LA Kings at Crypto.com Arena, which still sounds so weird. It's always going to be Staples Center.
I know.
It's one of those arenas where
doesn't sound right.
They'll change the name, but no, I'm going to keep calling it by the old name. It will never be Crypto.com Arena. It will always be Staples Center.
I want to go back to the Forum. Shoot.
Well, the Kia Forum. There are events there. Anyway, 9:30 p.m. Central puck drop tonight, 8:30 pregame right here on 102.5 The Game. It was a bad night for the Predators on the scoreboard last night. The Kings won 2-1 in overtime against St. Louis, the dreaded three-point game, because the Blues are still in the race, but they get a point. The Kings win and Kings get two. The Sharks also won in regulation last night, 4-3 against the Anaheim Ducks. So not a good night.
It came from behind to do it. That was a huge win for the Sharks.
Yes. So the Predators are now out of the playoff spot. They are 1 point back of the Kings. They are tied in points with the Sharks, but the Sharks have played one fewer game, so the Sharks are ahead of the Predators in the standings just because of the points percentage. But 1 point back of the Kings in the standings. As I said to start the show, a big one, a huge one, a massive one, whatever adjective you want to use. Willie, give us the vibe, give us the preview of this game from your perspective.
Well, what they've tried to do is, it does seem, just because they played so many games, it seems like a long time since they last had a game day. Sunday seems like a long time ago because they're so used to playing every other night or back-to-back, 3 out of 4, 4 out of 8, all of that stuff. So I think they have had a chance to recharge just a little bit. And I'm hoping that will be a good thing. And when I say recharge, it's not just physically, but also mentally. Just hit the reset. It's an 8-game season. And despite the frustration of the last couple of games not coming up with a point, Matt Wood has hit the post in 2 of the 3 games that would have tied the game in the final minute. So they're that close to getting some points during this 3-game losing streak, but they lost. The fact is they're 0-3 in their last three, and that would be easy to have sit with you. What they've tried to do is say, hey, if you'd have told me on Thanksgiving Day you'd be 1 point out with 8 to play and all these head-to-head matchups against the teams that you're going up against, it's basically a little round-robin tournament here. Would you have signed up for it? The answer is overwhelmingly yes. So that's what I hope to see tonight, is a team that's a little refreshed and is ready to go out and just lay it out there with your best hockey and see where that gets you.
As I preview this game, I'm looking at a couple of players in particular. Number one is Roman Josi. And Roman Josi did not have a Roman Josi-esque month of March. He had 9 points in 17 games after coming back from the Olympics, but the underlying numbers have not been good for Roman Josi, or they weren't good in the month of March. The Predators were outscored by 7 goals at 5-on-5 with Josi on the ice. They lost the shot quality battle decisively with Roman Josi on the ice in the month of March. We all know that Roman Josi is the engine that drives the Predators. I think he needs to step it up a notch down the stretch here. You mentioned Matt Wood. You're right. He has hit a couple of posts, but he's also hit a bit of a wall, which you could expect with a rookie. I mean, he hit a much bigger wall in the middle of the season. But after he made the switch to center, he was scoring a lot of goals. He has 1 goal in his past 7 games. He only has 4 shots on goal in those 7 games. The posts don't count as a shot on goal. So those are, I mean, the usual suspects. Stamkos, Forsberg, O'Reilly, so on and so forth. But two players I'm looking at in particular, Willie. First and foremost, Roman Josi and Matthew Wood, you know, not too far behind him.
I think Roman Josi might benefit from these 3 days off as much as any player. There's no doubt he has not had his A game since the All-Star break. And, you know, some people would love to have his production, even with it not being his best. But there's a lot expected of Roman Josi. And when he is playing at the Norris Trophy level, we've said it for years, he elevates everybody around him. And so there's no doubt they need 8 good games from him if they're going to have a chance to win this little tournament where there's, what, 5 teams, 6 teams
five
for one
team,
spot?
5 teams are, I looked this up earlier, 5 teams are within 4 points of the final spot.
Yeah, and they can't all go. I mean, only one spot available. So you're going to have to win some games here. Yossi's huge. You know, Matt Wood, I think they're going to be patient with him. They understand that they're asking probably too much of him in this situation. He's going to get great experience. I don't think they want to just turn around and say, hey, kid, you got to take us there. I think they want to try to leave him in as much of a complimentary role as they can. And so that's why I would point at two other guys. When you talk about Yossi, you mentioned Wood. I would mention Eric Halla and Ryan O'Reilly. O'Reilly's another guy that has carried them for so long, but he has shown some signs of fatigue. They've had to play him so much. I'm hoping that the 3 days, I think, will do him well also, because his production has slipped some. And then the other guy is Eric Halla. Eric Halla is a guy that, when he's playing well, the whole team looks better. They've got more balance up and down the lineup. So Halla, I think, is a guy that is capable of picking up the slack for Matt Wood. But Halla has not played well. As you pointed out, you asked Barry Trotz about it the other day. Adam, they need a little bit more from Eric Halla. Those guys down the middle, I think, are going to be really important in these games.
615-737-1025. I assume you see Saros in net tonight, Willie?
Yes, he'll be in there tonight.
Yes, and Saros has played well since the Olympic break. I know that his traditional numbers aren't as good as Justus Onanen's since the Olympic break, but Saros has been giving the Predators a lot of quality starts since the Olympic break, 9 out of 10, to be exact. So another opportunity here for UC Saros to win a big game for the Predators. 615-737-1025. To end the show, I need some advice from Willie and Derek and all of you. And we will do that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. By the way, Predemption on our YouTube chat says, how old was Steve Bartman, or was he wearing a glove? I don't recall Steve Bartman wearing a glove. Do you, Willie? I don't think he was wearing a glove on the infamous play.
I don't think he was, but I will... Let's just pull it up on YouTube just to see.
You talked about the nerdy dudes who wear gloves as adults. Steve Bartman.
He had the headphones. He famously had the headphones on, listening to. So you could tell he was a hardcore fan.
He also had a turtleneck on, if I recall correctly, as well. Steve Bartman is the type of person who would bring a glove to a game as an adult.
He did not. He was not wearing a glove. I'm watching the play right now.
Poor Moises Alou.
Oh well.
See, things like that don't happen anymore. I know it was terrible for Steve Bartman, but just think about how big of a. I was going to say, well, I guess you could call him a celebrity. How big of a celebrity Steve Bartman came. Things like that just don't happen anymore.
Nah.
Well, I feel like they will. It's just a matter of when.
That is probably true. Okay. So the reason why we played some Bob Seger coming back from the famous scene in Risky Business when Tom Cruise, his parents leave him home alone, and he has the time of his life. This morning, I dropped off my wife and my two beautiful children at the airport so they could go visit Bridget's parents. Guess who's a bachelor for the next 5 days?
Dun, 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 dun.
Do, 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 do.
You're bachelor adjacent. You're not.
I think the rubber burn from me just speeding out of the airport is still flowing around BNA right now.
Harlan was like, mommy, what?
That smell of burnt rubber?
Why is smoke coming from Dad's tires?
I dropped him off and I hightailed it out of there.
Why are there tire marks on the floor?
Love you. See ya.
Oh,
I mean, I'm going to miss them terribly, but it is strange to have an empty house. And I'm newly 37, and it's like, look at this, all this freedom I have now. I can go here when I want. I can do this when I want. I can go to bed when I want. I don't have to wake up in the middle of the night unless my dog decides to go outside in the middle of the night.
And how long does this last?
5 nights.
Okay.
Until Tuesday. But I know that this is what's going to happen. I'm going to leave the station. I got to run to the grocery store. I still have to do adult things. I'll try to stay up for the Predators game. What probably will happen is I'll sit down on the couch and I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch this show that everybody's told me about, which I can't watch because I never have time to sit down and watch TV. I'll be passed out on the couch by 7:30. That's
nothing wrong with that.
That's what's going to happen.
But you get some sleep through the whole night.
But I want to actually do things. Like I don't want to just be like, I'm just going to putz around the house for 5 days and not do anything, which also sounds heavenly. But mm-hmm. I don't want to feel like I wasted my time.
Okay, are there some things that need to be done outside? Do your closet need to be cleaned out? Does the refrigerator
need to be cleaned out? Some tidying up.
Okay,
well, that's
we'll
not
do that.
Fun.
I
that's
mean,
not
it can't,
fun.
Listen, throw on some music.
Some Bob Seger, maybe?
Absolutely. And yeah. Just jam out, man. Play it as loud as you want to.
Robert in Nashville says, my wife is also traveling this week. Let's rage. Robert, I'm not much of a rager. I've never been much of a rager, even in my younger days. Like, I was that guy in college mm-hmm. who you would go to somebody's apartment on a Friday night and you'd pregame. Mm-hmm. And you'd be there until like 9:30 or 10. And then I would get tired. And they're like, nope, we're going out. I'm like, no, this was me going out, coming to your house. This was me going out. I'm going to bed. You guys can go to the bar or the club or whatever. I'm going to bed.
Listen, you saved yourself a lot of headaches by doing that. I'm sure. But just find something to do around the house, man. I mean, you know, before you know it, the family's going
to
be back.
I'm kind of looking forward to just like on the weekend going to a park and sitting on a bench and reading a book. Like, Man. Like I am so lame. Let's go to Adam in Portland.
That is.
That's really lame.
Is that lamer than being an adult who brings a glove to a baseball game?
No.
Definitely not.
No.
Okay. Let's go to Adam in Portland on our phone line. Adam, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Well, I was always told, you know, like you look forward as a kid to being able to become an adult. You could just go buy your own cake and eat it. But then when you become an adult, if you eat that cake, you're going to end up in the hospital. So that's why we have rules, man, like the natural order of life. But I don't think you should be so boring that you're going to be sitting at a park reading, man. Go get drunk. Do the stuff she wouldn't let you do.
He is doing stuff she's not letting him do.
Just go get drunk. Watch hockey and get drunk.
Thank you, Adam.
Adam, he can't just go to the park and read. He can't just do that.
Right. Okay? I never, like, people will say to me, like, Willie, you just had a long flight over to L.A. I'm sure you watched a movie or a couple of shows or something like that, caught up on things you've missed. Like, I don't, like, people are like, hey, have you seen this show? I'm like, what time do I have? Like, I go home and I'm getting the kids ready for bed and helping my wife until 8 o'clock when both kids are down. And then I'm asleep by 8:03. Like, yeah. I don't have time to do anything. So I'm okay with being boring, I suppose. Willie, what suggestions do you have?
You know, I thought of shows and movies like that you would just not otherwise even think about putting on in front of the rest of the family because mm-hmm. maybe it's more
word
of a
choices.
Yeah, rated R kind of thing. Or, you know, it's you know, I would take advantage of that time, you know, and say, okay, I got the house to myself. I can watch these shows that I just would not have time for, one, but also even if I did, if my family's around, they're not, this isn't going to fly. I'm going to get vetoed if I put this in. So I would go with that.
Watch some scary movies if you need to, man.
I hate scary movies.
Oh, well, you can't watch them.
I hate scary movies.
What are we going to do with this guy, Derek? We're trying to give good advice.
Exactly. We're trying to give you some good advice, man.
I don't have to be cool anymore. I've been married for almost
five, six years. Don't you ever in your life think that, Adam. Don't ever think you don't have to be cool. Because when you lose that, it's gone forever, okay? And you may be thinking cool as something else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, man. You always got to keep that coolness in you for the kids, for the wife, man. You know, you gotta show, hey, I'm still cool. I still got it.
I mean, my wife doesn't like when I have wrestling on in front of Arlo because he kind of looks at it and goes like, why are they fighting? And who's this?
That's
and
a
who's
rite
that?
Of passage.
And why
right
are
there.
They fighting?
That's I'm a like, rite of passage.
And you so badly want to tell
them. Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. It's a rite of passage, though.
That's right.
Exactly. You watched it when you were little. I watched it when I was little. And that's a rite of passage. I'm sure Willie watched it when he was younger.
One texter says, the Gonzalez error at short did in the Cubs, not Bartman. I mean, we're not relitigating the NLCS
right.
from 2003 or whatever
exactly.
it was.
Yeah.
What he said is true. It's true, but nobody ever wants to hear that part of the story. I get it.
Do you ride bikes?
I do like to bike ride. I don't have a bike though.
Willie, you got a bike?
I don't live far from Willie.
Should I break into Willie's house?
Should I break into Willie's
house? In the basement for a while.
Should I break into Willie's house?
Be the cable guy.
It'll give you something to do. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, is Evie around? Can she let me in? And then I can just go through your fridge?
Drink a cold
Adam,
one?
I will arrange for you to get into the house if you want. If you are looking for stuff to do that bad, explore the Donick house.
It's a beautiful house.
I'll give you access.
It's a beautiful house.
No, Willie, give him a to-do list, okay?
I'm not doing Willie's chores. I've got enough chores to do.
Yeah, can I interest you in some vacuuming?
I will give you a to-do list and you can come to my house.
Mowing the yard.
Listen, go out. Oh, you got a front porch?
Kind of.
Is it sittable?
Yes, we have a bench on the porch.
Okay, well, go on your front porch, grab your book, and just sit out there. Yeah. Man, it's going to be nice tonight.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Get you a little cocktail. Sit it right there. Just enjoy yourself, man.
Yeah, a little home drinking.
Exactly. Enjoy yourself, man. Listen.
Just take the edge off.
What I've learned now, and I'm 52 going on 53 next year, I bought my house for a reason. To enjoy it. Okay?
Yeah.
So every moment I have that I can enjoy my house, I do it. And half the time it's just sitting around, enjoying outside the back porch or music on. But I'm going to enjoy it. So enjoy your house when no one's there. Because when they get back, you can't enjoy it no more.
I the one thing that I'm getting used to now is when two children are crying at the same time, that just hits you different. The baby was fussy last night. Arlo was upset about having to wash his hair. He doesn't like to wash his hair. So they're both crying at the same time. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, you know what the guy in Silver Linings Playbook did? I can't remember the name of the character, but remember he was Bradley Cooper's buddy who was married to the sister and she was really hard on him, and he was just getting beat down. And so he said he had to go to the garage, and he had the iPod with all of this, the raging music, like heavy metal.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like you could do that, Adam. You can cut loose, play the loud music, and let it fly.
Put together a playlist for yourself.
Okay. One texter says Adam probably has like one cocktail a year. I mean, you're not that far off.
Well, I have two tonight.
But what are you saying? Will I make it to the show tomorrow at 3 o'clock? We'll find out together if I rage. We'll see if I'm on the air at 3 o'clock, but we will be on the air at 3 o'clock. Predators tonight, 9:30 Central, tip off. Puck drop, 8:30 p.m. Central pregame. We'll react to that and much more tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Thursday. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. See you tomorrow at 3 p.m. on 102.5.
Will I make it? Let's find out.
And will Adam make it? We will all find out tomorrow. Peace.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.